Thank you again for having me here once again. The scripture reading would be Genesis 3:15 and then Isaiah 7 verses 14 through 16. And I will put enmity between you and the woman, between your seed and her seed. He shall bruise you on the head, and you shall bruise him on the heel. And then in Isaiah, then the Lord spoke again to Ahaz, saying, Ask a sign for yourself from the Lord your God. Make it deep as Sheol or high as heaven. But Ahaz said, I will not ask, nor will I test the Lord. And he said, Listen now, O house of David, is it too slight a thing for you to try the patience of men, that you will try the patience of my God as well? Therefore, the Lord himself will give you a sign. Behold, a virgin will be with child and bear a son, and she will call his name Emmanuel. He will eat curds and honey at the time he knows enough to refuse evil and choose good. For before the boy will know enough to refuse evil and choose good, the land whose two kings you dread will be forsaken. This is the word of the Lord. Hopefully my voice will hold out. Fahu fores, dahu dores. Welcome Christmas, come this way. Fahu fores, dahu dores. Welcome Christmas, Christmas Day. You know, it's interesting where you can find theological truths and find them in some of the most unusual places. For example, what he saw was a shocking surprise. Every who down in Whoville, the tall and the small, was singing without any presence at all. He hadn't stopped Christmas from coming. It came, somehow or other. It came just the same. And the Grinch, with his Grinch feet ice cold in the snow, stood puzzling and puzzling. How could it be so? It came without ribbons. It came without tags. It came without packages, boxes, or bags. And he puzzled 3 hours till his puzzler was sore. Then the Grinch thought of something he hadn't before. Maybe Christmas, he thought, doesn't come from a store. Maybe Christmas, perhaps, means a little bit more. And a little bit more indeed. And there was another truth of this, a little bit more. It was found in the movie called The Santa Claus. There's one scene where one of the elves named Julie is trying to explain to the new Santa Claus, who is now taking over the business. He's having a hard time believing what he thought did not exist, indeed actually did exist. And Julie explains to Santa, seeing is not believing. Believing is seeing. Believing is seeing. And is this not what Jesus spoke to Thomas when Jesus appeared to Thomas after Jesus' resurrection? John chapter 20. Then he said to Thomas, Reach your finger here and see my hands. And reach here your hand and put it into my side. And be not unbelieving, but believing. Thomas answered and said to him, My Lord and my God. And Jesus said to him, Because you have seen me, have you believed? Blessed are they who did not see and yet believed. Now, most of you are familiar with the history of Santa Claus. In the 4th century, there was a man named Nicholas who became bishop of the village of Myra or Myrna, depending on who you read. And it was in modern-day Turkey. And later, he was canonized by the church, and eventually he became one of the most popularized saints in history. But even by the medieval ages, he was still just a nominal saint. It wasn't until Clement Clark Moore and Coca-Cola created the image of Santa Claus that we have today. And greed and materialism have pretty much advertised the life out of this patron saint of children. And there are arguments made about not teaching children to believe in mythical creatures and people such as Santa Claus. However, children and I can believe that there is a Santa Claus and the elves and the toy factory that's up at the North Pole. We can believe such things because God has given us an amazing gift. He's given human beings the ability to imagine, have imagination. The ability to ask, what if? The ability to think outside the box. The ability to see beyond the realm of time, matter, energy, and space. That there does exist something greater than what's beyond our eyes. That there is a supernatural and what some would consider fantasy. In the Star Trek movie First Contact, Counselor Troy unknowingly makes a very sound theological statement regarding the human race. In First Contact, and this is in the Star Trek universe, the first contact the Terrans had with the Vulcans, First Contact unites humanity, and quote, unites humanity in a way no one ever thought possible, when they realize that we are not alone in the universe. Poverty, disease, war, they'll all be gone within the next 50 years, end quote. This is not earth-shattering. God made it clear from the beginning that we are not alone in the universe. God put an exclamation mark on this when he himself came into our universe, taking to his divine self a human body and a human soul. And even though poverty, disease, and war were not eliminated in the 50 years that followed, we still know that God demonstrates his love toward us in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. Much more than having now been justified by his blood, we shall be saved from the wrath of God through him. Now, in recent years, these so-called Christmas movies from the secular humanistic worldview, they come in all types and all genres. If you don't believe me, look up a list of favorite Christmas movies, and in that list you will find the first Die Hard movie. Not because it's an actual Christmas movie, but because it occurred at Christmas time. And many of the Santa Claus movies, they tend to revolve around a crisis of one sort or another that prevents Santa from delivering presents around the world. This disaster then prevents Christmas from happening. As a result, the children of the world, all the children of the world, will be scarred psychologically and emotionally for the rest of their lives because they didn't get their most favorite toy for Christmas, like an Oscar Mayer wiener whistle when they were 2 years old. Children, contrary to popular opinion, there is no way anyone can prevent Christmas from happening. Christmas can never be prevented from happening because arrived, it already has. Some will tell you Christmas began some 2,000 years ago. Some will tell you Christmas was established some 6,000 years ago. Actually, Christmas was planned before time. And this is where, if you do not have an imagination, you may be hard-pressed to try and understand that there are events that occur outside of time, matter, energy, and space. Arguably, the first Christmas was Genesis 3:15. When Adam disobeyed God in the garden, eating the fruit of the tree of knowledge of good and evil, Adam and Eve should have died immediately. The human race should have been doomed and eliminated before there was any chance to grow. But God interceded immediately with a covenant of grace. In the proto-evangelium of Genesis 3:15, God provided the gift of life through faith in the coming Messiah. And God continued to foretell the coming day of Christmas Day through Noah, through Abraham, Moses, the Mosaic Covenant, the Davidic Covenant, and in much more detail through the prophets. God gave the nation of Israel more information and predictions of the coming Messiah. And God did this so that when the fullness of time came, God sent forth his son, born of a woman, born under the law, in order that he might redeem those who were under the law, that they might receive adoption as sons. That's from Galatians 4. Now, there are several key passages predicting how Messiah would come into this realm, but I'm only going to highlight a few for tonight. And the first one we read is a curiosity, but where it is placed in Scripture. Therefore, the Lord himself will give you a sign. Behold, a virgin will be with child and bear a son, and she will call his name Emmanuel. And the appearance of this prophecy just seems so out of place. Because in this passage, King Ahaz and his crew, they're shaking in their boots because they're afraid the king of Aram and the king of Israel are preparing to wage war on Jerusalem. But God wants to reassure Ahaz, and he tells him, be calm, have no fear, and do not be faint-hearted. And the Lord speaks directly to Ahaz and tells Ahaz to choose a sign that God could perform to reassure Ahaz of God's protection. And you look at the limits that God gives Ahaz, from the depths of Sheol to the heights of heaven. What a wide range that he could choose from for a sign. Now, if I were Ahaz, this is where I would ask for the triple nacelled Enterprise D with a spore drive. However, Ahaz, in great pomp and false humility, he declines to do as God commanded him. But thinking about this, even if Ahaz had time to think about what to choose for a sign, I don't see any way how a human being, especially a man, is going to come up with this sign of a virgin having a son. A virgin will be with child and bear a son, and she will call his name Emmanuel. This thing had to be something that only could come from the Lord God. And then two chapters later, Isaiah gives us more information about this child from God. Who is God? Who will be born of a virgin? Isaiah chapter 9, we're all familiar with this. For a child will be born to us, a son will be given to us, and the government will rest on his shoulders, and his name will be called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Eternal Father, Prince of Peace. There will be no end to the increase of his government or of peace. And note that this unique child is going to be given to us, and the government will rest on his shoulders. And his name will be called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God. A son will be given to us. This child that has these names, these titles, will bring these things to us. Counsel, peace, life with the eternal Father. And it comes to each of us who trust in Messiah for forgiveness and redemption. There will be no end to the increase of his government or of peace. And this points to the eternality of Messiah's reign. This child born of a virgin will be God, the Lord God Creator, who in fact will be Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Eternal Father, the Prince of Peace, who is for us, and we will live under his rule and enjoy being his subjects forever. Now, there's one last prediction, or one other prediction, that I believe to be one of the greatest pronouncements of Messiah's arrival. And this comes from the great preacher Linus Van Pelt. Charlie Brown is discouraged about understanding Christmas. And he says to Linus, I guess you were right, Linus. I shouldn't have picked this little tree. Everything I do turns into a disaster. I guess I really don't know what Christmas is all about. And then, just in exasperation, Charlie Brown cries out, isn't there anyone who knows what Christmas is all about? And Linus responds, well, sure, Charlie Brown, I can tell you what Christmas is all about. And Linus walks to center stage, lights please, gets the spotlight on him, and he begins to quote Luke 2. And there were in the same country shepherds abiding in the field, keeping watch over their flock by night. And lo, the angel of the Lord came upon them, and the glory of the Lord shone round about them. And they were sore afraid, and the angel said unto them, fear not. And at this point, Linus does something amazing. He takes his blanket and he drops it. Linus is never without his security blanket, except here. And Charles Schulz did this on purpose. He drops his blanket because the angel said, fear not. And then he continues, quote, for behold, I bring unto you good tidings of a great joy, which shall be to all people. For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, which is Christ the Lord. And this shall be a sign unto you. You shall find the babe wrapped in swaddling clothes, lying in a manger. And suddenly there was an angel, with the angel a multitude of the heavenly host, praising God and saying, glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace, goodwill toward men. Linus then picks up his blanket, walks back to Charlie Brown, says, that is what Christmas is all about, Charlie Brown. And that show actually aired in 1965. And every year, anyone who tuned that in, and even now, you have it on DVD streaming, anyone can hear what Christmas is all about. And there's one more story I want to add before I close that is a favorite close to my heart, and this is the story of the little drummer boy. Simple tale, and I reckon all of you know of it, but to think about what God the Son has done for his people. God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit, they were content together before time, matter, energy, and space. They lived in harmony and perfect love with one another. They didn't have to create time, matter, energy, and space. They didn't have to create human beings. Yet, when Adam disobeyed and fell into sin, God would have been perfectly just to do nothing and let the human race die in its sin. But fortunately for us, God did not. God made a promise, a covenant, and foretold of the one he would send to heal us from the curse. And I'm going to read from Isaiah 52 and following. Behold, my servant will prosper. He will be high and lifted up and greatly exalted. Just as many were astonished at you, my people, so his appearance was marred more than any man, and his form more than the sons of men. Thus he will sprinkle many nations. Kings will shut their mouths on account of him. For what had not been told them, they will see. And what they had not heard, they will understand. Who has believed our message? To whom has the arm of the Lord been revealed? For he grew up before him like a tender shoot, and like a root out of parched ground. He has no stately form or majesty that we should look upon him, nor appearance that we should be attracted to him. He was despised and forsaken of men, a man of sorrows, acquainted with grief, and like one from whom men hide their face. He was despised, and we did not esteem him. Surely our griefs he himself bore, and our sorrows he carried. Yet we ourselves esteemed him stricken, smitten of God and afflicted. But he was pierced through for our transgressions. He was crushed for our iniquities. The chastening for our well-being fell upon him. And by his scourging, we are healed. All of us, like sheep, have gone astray. Each of us has turned to his own way, and the Lord has laid upon him the iniquity of us all. And like the parable of the little drummer boy, for all that the Lord's servant, the Messiah, God the Son, taking to himself a body and a human soul and be born a helpless infant, and all that he was going to do and suffer for my benefit. What is there that I can bring to the newborn king? We bring ourselves. We bring ourselves, as Charlotte Elliott wrote, just as I am, without one plea, but that thy blood was shed for me, and that thou bidst me come to thee, O Lamb of God, I come. And so, to honor the newborn king of heaven and earth, the little drummer boy offered all that he had playing his little drum. Adam's descendants are all born dead from sin. What is there that anyone can offer the Lord God Creator that is not tainted, marred by sin? Through the power and assistance of the Holy Spirit, we come to the King by faith, and we come through faith alone to be forgiven and redeemed, continually offering up a sacrifice of praise to God, that is the fruit of lips that give thanks to his name. And how is it that we are to approach Christ? Jesus himself said in Luke 18, Jesus called them to him, saying, let the children come to me, and do not hinder them, for to such belongs the kingdom of God. Truly I say to you, whoever does not receive the kingdom of God like a child shall not enter it. Fahu fores, dahu dores. Welcome, Christmas. Come this way. Fahu fores, dahu dores. Welcome, Christmas, Christmas Day. Please pray with me. Father, again, we thank you that this time of year we celebrate your coming from eternity, from heaven, and being in perfect harmony with the Trinity, coming into our realm, taking on a human body and a human soul to endure what we go through, to be able to understand the things we suffer because of sin. And though you have never sinned, you are able to sympathize, empathize with what we go through. And you have become our great mediator between us and God. And we thank you for that, Father. And so we do declare, Father, that we look forward to Christmas Day, that you have come to deliver us from our sin, but also that we look forward to the time when you will return, collect us all together, and take us home to be with you forever in your kingdom. And we thank you and pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen.
Thank you very much, Bill. Well, friends, if you would, let's sing in response number 221, Indeed the Savior Has Come. Let's sing another great hymn of the Incarnation, number 221. Also, let me just draw your attention to a slight change, just in case you weren't used to it or expecting it. After the benediction, we will conclude our service by singing the doxology, just the classic doxology, so be aware of that at the end of the service. But for now, let's stand together and sing 221, Lo, How a Rose Ere Blooming.